Good evening. Thank you for opening up your doors to our ministry, and thank you, Pastor Scott. We really appreciate when a church cares enough about the homosexual, the LGBT community. And let me start from the beginning. My name is Irene Bennett, and I'm married to Stephen Bennett. And in the year 2000, the Lord called us to reach the LGBT and Q community for Christ. That's lesbian, gay, transgender, bisexual, and questioning. And tomorrow, Lord willing, you'll be able to hear my husband Stephen's testimony from the beginning to the end, which is quite an amazing story of God's mercy and grace and love toward a sinner. We've been married 22 years. We have two children, 17 and 15. My daughter is 17. My son is 15. But today, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about how the ministry began from my side of the story. Because usually he tells his side, and that's, you know, really wonderful, and you'll get to hear that too. But back in 19, actually, I don't know what year it was, but I was 23 years old. And I came to Christ. I was working at Textron Lycoming in Stratford, Connecticut, and I was in the presentation graphics arts department. I wasn't saved, but I had been praying, Lord, if you're real, I would like to know who you are. I was feeling an urge like I needed to, you know, have something more in my life. And I began working there, and there were two Christians working there. And one of them was very instrumental in leading me to Christ. Then we had an opening in the art department there. We started praying. I started praying for a friend, actually, because all my friends thought I was kind of crazy, you know, Jesus freak, and blah, blah. So I didn't have any friends left. So we hired a girl, and her name was Kathy, and we started to witness to her. Eventually, Kathy got saved, and Kathy and I started to pray for our family and friends for their salvation. And every Wednesday night during lunch, no, Wednesday day during our lunch at work, we would all pray for three people on each. So we didn't want to be that long because we only had a half hour, you know. So one of the people that she was praying for was Stephen. She said that Stephen was a very good friend of hers, a homosexual man, and she really loved him. They were like brother and sister. So I said, fine, I'll pray for him too. Around the same time, I asked my mentor, I said, you know, I want to get married. And he said, well, you better pray that God sends you a husband. And, you know, if it's his will, he'll send you one. And I said, okay, that's how this works. All right, I'll pray. So being a new Christian, I was new to praying and, you know, going to God for everything. It was quite foreign to me in my old, you know, BC life. But anyway, every night I would pray and ask God to send me a husband. And after a while, I started feeling a really great burden to pray for my husband's health, protection, and for him not to die. And I remember praying many, many nights in that same manner, and sometimes even crying, because I just felt the burden was so great for his life and for his health. And maybe a year and a half later, maybe it was, I think, the beginning of 1992, where Stephen, we were very excited because Stephen had come to Christ. And in a few months, he moved back home. And his house, well, where he lived with his family, was only a few minutes away from my house, and we began to be friends. And after seeing each other like almost every day and getting to be really good friends, he asked me on a date. And we had a conversation. And I said, you know, I really want a husband. I don't want to play around here. I want to get married. And he said, me too. And I knew his past. I've been praying for him and all. And then he started to share with me how he was with many people who had died from AIDS. And then I had this light bulb moment. And I thought, wow, if you are to be my husband, now all my prayers make sense. Because when I was praying for my husband's health, protection, and for him not to die, I thought I was praying for someone who was in the military or a policeman or a fireman, someone like that. It never dawned on me that my future husband was homosexual and in relationships that were dangerous, of course, with AIDS and everything, to his health. Just never dawned on me. But anyway, we were really excited and both kind of new Christians. We were like, wow, this is so God. So we decided to, you know, continue dating and just pray. And he asked me to marry him like 2 months later, and he'll probably share this with you tomorrow. I thought he was going to be my husband, but I hadn't really prayed about it because it was only 2 months and he asked me to marry him. And so when he asked me, I said, I can't say yes, I can't say no, I need to pray about it. And he was like, what? Well, I mean, this is my new life. I didn't want to do anything without asking God. So I asked God, and I got the okay, had total peace about it. And, you know, here we are 22 years married. So it was definitely of the Lord. When we were married, after our 5 years into our marriage, Stephen was a music minister at Haven of Rest Baptist Church in New West Haven, Connecticut. And we had an outreach out on the beach. And people were giving testimonies, and we were praising God. And it was summertime, and lots of people were passing by. And for the first time, publicly, Stephen shared his testimony. And then he called me up. And I had my six-week-old son in one hand, and I had my two-year-old daughter in the other hand, and I came up with them, and he said, this is my family, and this is what God has done for me. And it was a really intense moment. People were blessed, obviously. They were raising their hands. They were clapping. They were just praising God. And it was all God's, you know, glory to God, had nothing to do with us. And we got back into the car after the night was over, and we had a van because he had a sign company, little sign business. And the kids were in the back sleeping, and I looked at him and I said, I think God is calling us to do something for him, and I don't know what. And he said, I feel that same thing. So right then and there, we prayed. We said, whatever it is, Lord, we'll do it. We dedicate our whole family to you. And we had no idea what we were getting into, but we were ready to do it. And then Stephen, he was singing. He made a CD. He put his testimony on it, and he started sending it to Christian radio. And John DeBrine from Cape Cod, Songtime Radio, got it. And we would listen to him every day. And he played Stephen's song. And we were like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And then they called us, and we went up there. And John DeBrine interviewed Stephen. When that happened, we got many calls looking for help. And we gave our 1-800 sign company number. And people were calling, how do I get out of this? How do I witness to people? And we, you know, helped them the best we could. And then a big explosion of our ministry occurred after Concerned Women for America. Has anyone remember them? Okay, from years ago. So I was a member of Concerned Women for America, and they would fight, you know, different agendas and ungodly things in the country, and they were in Washington, and Reagan loved them. And her husband, Beverly LaHaye, Tim LaHaye, he co-wrote the Left Behind series, great, great books, and they even made a couple of movies about it. Anyway, they call the house, and I answer, and as usual, they're looking for money. And I said, well, I don't have any money, but I have an ex-gay husband that maybe you can use. And the lady said, oh, okay, give me your name and number, and what's his name? So I gave her all the information, and it was a short time later, I think it might have been even the same day, they called him. Before we knew it, we were down in Washington, and he got media training, and then they started calling him to go do media, talking about why, you know, how homosexuals can change and how they weren't born that way. And every time we spoke, we got more phone calls for people and from people who needed help, parents and people who are struggling, and even some homosexuals who were interested, truly interested in why were they gay and, you know, how can they come out of this? And we started going to churches, and it just really exploded. It got so busy. I remember we had 50 engagements in 1 year. Wow, I don't even know how I did that. And I had 2 little kids, and we were, you know, mostly traveling with them because we didn't want to leave them at home. And plus, when you see the kids, it's quite a powerful picture of what God can do in a life. So we tried to bring our children with us whenever, you know, we could, which was probably 90% of the time. And through those years, Stephen, the Lord placed it on his heart to write a discipleship series that he could now give to churches and to individuals who could go through the discipleship series and come out of homosexuality, because we realized that we couldn't just disciple, you know, 24 hours a day, and we needed to, whatever, what he did and the knowledge that the Lord had given him, he could spread that by writing a discipleship series. So then we started giving that to churches. Whoever called us, we would go, and we would give tracts, and we just started to create resources to equip people, like how to reach the homosexual for Christ, you know, 10 things you can do, and met the medical truths and dangers of homosexuality, and the homosexual agenda in the schools, and things like that. You know, really helpful resources that I think a lot of people could use, and they have, and they did. And so we've been doing this for 15 years now, reaching the homosexual for Christ. We have led outreaches to Provincetown, Massachusetts. We have gay tracts that we ship out to churches and individuals who go and preach the gospel to gay pride parades and to just individuals, families, and friends. We have, or I didn't go, but Stephen went to Jerusalem for World Gay Pride in 2006. World Gay Pride is an event every year, and all the homosexuals will go to a certain place. In this instance, it was Jerusalem. And they would have their parades and protests and do whatever, you know, meetings and things. And we felt it was important. The Lord led it on our heart, put it in our hearts to go, because there was supposed to be like 200,000 homosexuals there. And we thought, wow, what a great opportunity. We could get, you know, reach so many people. So Stephen took a team of evangelists, and many of them former homosexuals and lesbians. And we went with the gospel tracts and a wristband that had the Romans Road on the inside. And it was really an amazing, great time. And people did get saved. They would read the track, the inside of the track, go to the website, go down the Romans Road, and then call us for a Bible and tell us they got saved. So it was a very fruitful adventure for us. And it was a little scary, too, because 2 weeks before Stephen and the team left, Hezbollah decided to put rockets into Jerusalem, and they could hit the airport. So boy, I had a really, you know, good teaching in faith that time. Goodbye, I don't know if I'll receive again. Oh my gosh. But, you know, when you walk with Jesus, you never know where he's going to lead you, but you can always be sure that his plan is good for you and glorifies him. Amen. And in 2007, we started what's called the parents group. And what we found was there was a great need for parents with homosexual children in the church to have a place that they could meet, they could pray, they could exchange what they were going through and get information, books, scriptures, recommended reading. And this is an amazing story. Stephen was going to build a website that was private, gated, so that no one could get in. And this would be the Parents Group Ministry website. And he was thinking about this and we're praying about this because the need was definitely there. And then all of a sudden his brother calls and says, I'm designing a website called iGroups. And it's going to be a gated, you know, password protected community. And you can have any kind of group on it that you want. And Stephen actually helped develop it. And then he gave it to us for free to use for the parents group. So, I mean, that's so God, such a God thing. And we've been using it ever since. Well, since then, he sold the company and we are now paying monthly for it. But it's still an amazing place where parents of people who are struggling can go. And there's a flyer out there about that. And I head up the website for the parents group. And it's mostly parents, although anyone can go on, but it's like 98% parents. And I think it's been really helpful. We pray together every Tuesday night. It's a conference call from Canada and all over the country. And we have prayer requests that go out. And it's just a very active, great blessing for people. And I just thank God that he started something like that for parents who need help. The other thing, the new thing that's going on right now, well, first of all, let me tell you about the church and kids who grow up and are homosexual. You would think that, oh, a person goes to church, a kid grows up in church, why are they struggling with homosexuality? And we would get these for years, and even now we get phone calls from Christian parents who say, I have raised the kid in the church, they've professed Christ, they have gone on missions trips, memorized scripture, they have led people to Christ. And all of a sudden, in their late teens, early 20s, they come out and say, I am gay. And they are shocked. They are heartbroken. They never saw this coming. And what happens is, when a kid grows up in the church, and there are reasons why people go down the homosexual path, homosexuality is caused, it's because they're broken. It's caused is brokenness. And we are all broken because we are all sinners. But homosexuality is a specific kind of brokenness that makes a person, it breaks their sexual development and who they are. And there's very common threads amongst males, broken relationship with the father, feeling that they are different because of that, molestation, and causes like that. There's a variety. I'm not going to go into all the details. Same with lesbianism. There are definite causes for people going down there. And say a child, of course, doesn't know any of these things, you know, feeling like their father doesn't say love them or appreciate them or affirm them. That can happen in the church. That can happen anywhere. But the child grows up and he feels a little different. He feels like there's something he doesn't fit in. And then when they're hit puberty, it's sexualized. But they don't want to tell anybody because they don't feel like there's a safe place. They've heard about this sin, but they hear, oh, it's a sin, you know, don't do it. And You know, people who are not saved do that. They don't hear usually the answer. They don't feel like there's a safe place in the church where they can go to and talk to someone at an early age. So they keep it a secret and they keep praying, Lord, please take this away, take this away. And they're on this emotional roller coaster for years and years, trying to be a good Christian, trying to do all the right things, asking God, and they've told, so many have told me this, so I'm not making this up. They ask God, please take it away, please take it away. And he never does. And then when they're 19, 20, they come out and in their mind, they're thinking, okay, I've tried the Christian thing. God didn't take it away. I must have been born that way. So when they come out, they're very adamant about getting help. They don't want to get help because they are like, I've been there. I've done that. It doesn't work. And to the parent, this is all fresh and new. And the parent is like, oh my gosh, let's talk to the pastor. Let's get you Christian counseling. Let's do something. You know, this is all new. And they're on, of course, on an emotional roller coaster and shocked and everything. But the kid doesn't want to hear it. And so that's how it happens in the church. And one of the things we strive to do is to help people like you understand where homosexuality comes from and to help the leaders in the church to know how to teach the people to look for the signs and to have the church be open to help these kids talk about it, talk about how you can come out of it. And it's not a sin any greater or less than any other sin. And so that's one of the very important thing that we try and do in the church, because we want kids to feel like, yes, the church is a safe place to talk about any sin you're struggling with, and especially kids, because out there the world is destroying our youth, and all you hear are lies all over the internet, all over the TV, LGBT, everything is fine, everything is great. If you feel it, do it. They never, ever talk about the root issues, the root brokenness that cause a child to have same-sex attraction. And the attraction is not a sin. It's a temptation, like we all have temptations. The sin is that you give in to the temptation. But with homosexuality, there is something that happened, because 98% of people are heterosexual. So those who have homosexual temptation, something happened to them that broke them in a specific way that made them like this. But the truth is that with Jesus Christ, change is completely possible. And sometimes it's a short time, sometimes it's a long time. But just like any other sin, you can learn not to give in to that. And a very helpful way of not giving in to that is to learn what the root issues are, the root causes, because then you can be healed of the brokenness. When you're healed of the brokenness, then you're free to, you know, move on and walk and grow in your Christian life and get free from homosexuality. And the last thing I want to talk about, because I think I only have half an hour and it's probably very close to that, is transgenderism. Transgenderism is taking the country by storm, as you all know, with everything that's going on with Bruce Jenner and just a lot of our youth. And it's on magazines, it's on TV, there's a new movie coming out about a young girl who wants to be a boy, and this too comes from brokenness, but it's much more complicated, we find, than homosexuality. It's not as straightforward. But basically, the transgender person feels unsuccessful as the male. If it's a boy, they feel unsuccessful in the gender. They feel like they've never been, say, what a man is supposed to be. They feel awkward, and a lot of times they have the same broken relationship with the parent, the same-sex parent, and other things in their life have pushed them toward that path. The transgender person, it's so tragic because they are so so filled with anxiety. They're so nervous. They're depressed oftentimes. They're on medication for depression, for anxiety. I mean, even before they transition to the other sex, it's just so obvious how broken they are. And it's such a tragedy. It breaks my heart when the world will say, okay, we're going to fix your body, which it's their mind and their heart that needs to be fixed, not their body. And there's a doctor who used to be the head of psychiatric department in Johns Hopkins, and I forgot his name right now, but he wrote a book, and he's been very outspoken in the transgender issue. He retired, and he's not even a Christian, but he states the fact that most of the people who have the surgery, they are just as depressed after as before, because he said that we have to treat their mind, not their body, and we're doing them a great disjustice by mutilating them. Anyway, it's very complicated, transgenderism, but the ministry's hopes is to be able to write a discipleship program for the transgender person. Right now, Stephen and I are discipling a transgender man. He is dressing like a woman. He lives with his mother. He's a Christian. He says he's a Christian. And he's so tormented and pulled in the inside. He was married, and he left his wife and his young son, who's in third grade, because he had this great desire to be a woman. And he still sees his son every day, but he dresses like a man. But there's such a pull. Please pray for us, and please pray for him. His name is Jeremy. But there's so many like that that we would like to reach. And that's one of the goals of this ministry, is to now tackle this huge transgender issue. Another goal of the ministry is to create resources to help the young people, especially the young Christian kids, about teaching them what the Bible says, because the young Christian kids don't believe that homosexuality is a sin. Christian kids, we were just in Long Island and we spoke to the youth group, and the girl on the worship band is in high school, and we did a Q&A with all the young people, and she raised their hand and she said, is it wrong to go to a gay wedding? And she grew up in the church, and the whole Christian family goes there, and she doesn't even know if it's wrong to go to a gay wedding. What's wrong with it? And so our kids, we don't want to lose this generation. They are the next generation that should preach the gospel and reach people for Christ, and they need to reach the LGBT people. But if they're not going to think there's anything wrong with the sin, then they're not going to be equipped to reach these people. We can't let our generation, the next generation, believe this lie. So that's been really heavy on our hearts. Even since January, we've been praying about this. Even before same-sex marriage, the Supreme Court decision, which is another thing. Stephen and I talk about how long we're going to be able to do this ministry, because there are homosexual activists who are now pretending to want to get help. They call ministries like ours, and there's not very many ministries out there like ours, and they say it doesn't work, whatever happens, and then they sue the ministry for $300,000, $2 million, and the ministry has to shut down. And there's two ministries that we know of that has happened to. So we're very careful. But, the way things are, black is being called white and white is being called black. Evil is good, good is evil. We don't know how long the government is going to let our ministry continue. So we talk about using passenger pigeons to send notes. And get, oh yeah, send the scripture verse. Okay, in the back. But anyway, but that, you know, Stephen 10 years ago held up a Time magazine and it said, gay marriage? Question mark. And Stephen would tell the churches, this is coming, this is coming. And so many people, oh, are you kidding? That's never going to happen. Here we are. And with the gay marriage comes the persecution of the church. And it's here. You've probably read about, you know, the bakery and the Christians and our friend down there who refused to sign marriage licenses and got thrown in jail, and it's happening more and more. But we just have to do what the Lord is leading us to do as long as we can, and trust Him that, you know, we're still going to be able to reach people for Jesus Christ no matter what happens. And we have to be courageous. And we thank you. I guess I'll stop because I could go on and on, you know. This issue is dear and near to my heart and Stephen's heart. But please, I hope you can come tomorrow at visitors, and Stephen's going to be preaching and giving his testimony and a little bit about what our ministry is doing. And here's a book that is in the back for a donation of $10. This book, Homosexuality in the Bible, What Does God Say? Great reference. And here is Stephen's testimony and a few of his music, his CDs, or songs from his CDs. And that's for a donation of $15 as well to help the ministry. And we really hope and pray that you would support us as a church, because we cannot do this alone. And it's not a very popular ministry, believe me. You know, most people don't really care about reaching the LGBT community. Unless they know someone, then they, you know, like a loved one, and then they begin to care. But, you know, we're just going to do what God wants us to do. And I really, really appreciate being here. And I'm sorry, Pastor, if I spoke a little bit too long. But God bless you all. Thank you.